Welcome to Two Guys and a Question, where Danny Jefferson and Alan Creedy challenge conventional thinking by fielding questions for more than 1,000 subscribers, all in less than 12 minutes an episode.
This is Alan Creedy.
And this is Danny Jefferson. And today, Alan, I need to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
And the very first one is, what do you consider to be one of our best opportunities for the funeral service?
Our greatest opportunity, Danny, to me, it is that the profession at large, now I'm going to talk about individual opportunities, not the profession's opportunities, because if we continue to go in the direction we're going as a profession, I don't see much. But individually, I see a lot. And what I see is that the profession has lost track of its customer base. In other words, we're trying to sell the things that their parents wanted. We're not selling what they want. And I'm not going to get into the detail of that, but I am going to tell you that the overwhelming majority of funeral homes today are underserving their clients. And so what I see as an individual opportunity is not to overserve, which a lot of people think. You know, we do these banquets and we do all these big shindigs and so on. That's not it. Where we've come apart here is, whereas 20 years ago, society and in many cases the church told you what you should do when someone died.
Yeah, they still do.
Well, they try to, but it no longer works.
Right.
And we have people that are trying to do their own thing, but they're running into, and they're running into a profession that is still stuck back in those times. And what I think they're really looking for, now we're not talking about 100%, but we are talking maybe about 80% of the market out there is looking for somebody who will engage with them, who will listen to them, who will help them explore various options that might fit them. Options that the funeral director himself may not really like, but still, they're new things. We also know that from research that what today's customer, and it would be generalization, but it's a good generalization, what they really want are two things, and that is they want to know that the deceased's life mattered. Now, interestingly, when we can convey that, the people attending, the guests and the family, they somehow place that on themselves so that, you know, well, if they were able to make John's life matter, they can make my life matter, all right? The second thing that they want is they want it to be transformational. They don't want to come into a celebration or a service or whatever it is and leave the same way they came in. They want to have some kind of profound thing that they can relate to. Most funeral directors I know, if they will learn systems like you created and processes and how to question and so on, can do that without challenge. So that's the opportunity. I really think there's a huge opportunity for those that will lean into the 21st century customer. In terms of threat, though, there is a threat, and the threat is us. And it's our licensing laws. You know what? It's gotten to the point with the staff crisis that the law itself is forcing small mom and pop funeral homes to regularly break the law. Now, you might find that surprising.
No, I don't. We're finding it a lot in a lot of the firms that we're going into.
They have unlicensed people, typically the wife, doing things that are supposed to be licensees, right? But they have no choice.
Right.
What are they going to do? So these laws are a threat to ourselves. The second thing is that nobody's recruiting. And if you just go back 30 years, people recruited. How many funeral directors have I met in your generation who started out mowing lawns at a funeral home? They were a high school kid, and the funeral director took an interest in them, and the next thing they knew, they decided to become a funeral director, and they love being a funeral director.
And you know the crazy thing, Alan? If you can adopt the first part or the second part of the opportunities, it takes away one of the threats.
Absolutely.
If you institute the systems and processes, you're going to need to recruit people like the young people, and we do need young people, into the system. All of a sudden, you're fixing it.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a criticism, not you personally, but the profession. I've dealt with this recruiting issue for a long time, and it's always the same thing. If you go, I'm sorry, I'm picking on people, but if you go to the major trade associations and you talk to people, they're going to say, well, the problem in recruiting is the low pay and the long, hard, unreliable hours. Well, first of all, it's not low pay anymore. I mean, $65,000, $75,000, $85,000 is not low pay here in the United States of America. But secondly, the long, hard hours, we're talking 50 hours a week to 55, not really considered to be long, hard hours. But you know what they never talk about they're recruiting?
What's that?
And it breaks my heart. I don't know, I'm not being dramatic, I don't know people that I really find reward in being a funeral director who don't get their reward from the families that they serve by helping those families and the response of those families and how they make a difference on the worst day of the life and so on, and they never talk about it. That's a recruiting advantage. There's lots of people out there. I'm sorry, but there are. You know, when I think about the low pay, it means that they've never thought about what EMS workers are making or police are making, because it's a half of what a licensed funeral director makes right now. So those are the threats. Those are the opportunities. I think we have a great future if we'll go and do it.
We're going to keep doing it. This is Danny Jefferson.
And Alan Creedy.
You can do it.
And we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.